It is the Brad and Britt cast. We are happy that you're with us here in the 1:30 hour on a Bunday. That's spelled B-U-N-D-A-Y. For all you radio announcers of the future, it's a Bunday. Say it like that.
Now, if you've been following along and you really listen to all of these podcasts, a week ago I gave you a fantastic gambling tip. I don't know if you remember what it was. It was for McNeese State and Utah State and Grand Canyon and someone else to make the Sweet 16. None of the teams that I picked made the Sweet 16. Zero of those teams made the Sweet 16.
Hey, Grand Canyon made a good run at Alabama. They did. If that game would have ended at 35 minutes, I think they would have
Unfortunately, they want you to play all 40 and then maybe overtime. It's weird how that works.
Yeah. Yeah. So your chances at winning the $1 billion Warren Buffett challenge this year,
unfortunately, no, it didn't work out for me. Unfortunately,
he doesn't do that anymore. He did that 1 year.
James Madison was the fourth team. Zero of those teams. If all four of those would have made it, I'm $16,000 richer. As it turns out, I'm not. Didn't happen for me.
My list.
Ready.
All right. Who are the geniuses that thought that hiring Eva Braun was a good idea at NBC?
That's been a great story all weekend.
Not to be separated from another great idea that they'd had that apparently is going to be scrapped. The Al Sharpton, Rona McDaniel hour. Scrapped. Done.
Hey,
remember, gonna be good.
Remember your great Al Sharpton imitation? Hey, Republicans!
Yeah. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Good time Donnie's got the blues.
Nice.
Who did that song? Quick.
Oh, shit.
Good time Charlie's got the blues.
Was that, I can't remember now.
It's Danny O'Keefe.
See, I wouldn't have known it. Big hit.
Governor Ron DeBandis goes after social media for kids.
Oh, nice.
Governor Ron DeBandis. I thought of that one. It was pretty great, huh?
You nailed it. Good job.
Yeah. Don goes full Jesus just in time for Easter.
Oh, yeah. Is that it? Those are our choices?
Hey. Come on. The writing staff is stretched this time of year.
It's tough. Let's do Eva Braun at NBC as this story just blew up over the weekend. And then Chuck Todd.
By the way, remember, this is among people who care about this shit. Because remember, accurate, 99% of America.
No idea. But it gave Chuck Todd a rare moment to show that he has a set of balls. Holy crap.
All right, so you knew there was trouble in the hiring by NBC News, which covers, because of the corporate synergy, MSNBC. You knew there was trouble when it was quickly learned that they sprung it on the on-air talent that's there at MSNBC and at NBC News without any warning, without any, do you think this is a good idea, troops, to hire the paid liar, Rona McDaniel, who was head of the RNC for about 6 years, all during the Trump years, and then up until just a few weeks ago when Donald Trump finally turned on her and figured out that she really is a Romney. I don't know what else to say.
Well, I mean, he turns on everybody eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that he does.
Yeah. Do you need an excuse to turn on someone?
I mean, eventually, anyway, at some point, nobody is loyal enough to him. Eventually. All right,
but I want you to just think for a moment over the last 6 years and, you watch about as much crap and Chan scan about as much as I do, I'm sure. And whenever you would see her face pop up on the screen, how many seconds did it take for you to just move on? Because you knew you're going to get nothing. You were going to get a lie. You were going to get right out of the playbook. And she was the ultimate person who would be playing always to the audience of one, saying exactly what Trump would want her to say, whether it was about denying the legitimacy of the 2020 election. Is Donald Trump the president? Well, no, Joe Biden is the president. Well, but it was a free and fair election then, right? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Really? No, she would say it wasn't. She said it wasn't over and over and over again. So many words. And that was just the beginning of it. Just the beginning. She went right along to get along. And finally, that string ran out because her last name isn't Trump. Her middle name was Romney. Trump trumps Romney every time in the end. Anyway, so NBC, and this is like a cancer that just keeps coming back there.
Right.
Every few years, they get this idea that the way to increase their audience is to get a little more Fox-like and bring on quote-unquote conservatives to balance the perceived liberal bias of the network, the broadcast network, and MSNBC, which doesn't hide it for one second. They are a liberal network. That's not a question.
So some bean counter goes in there and says, if we can just get X number of these people that are Fox lovers, we can add X to the bottom. We can make so much more money. We can do
it. They'll come right over. Absolutely, though. And while we're at, let's find the worst example of a conservative to come on the air. Let's not, because we already have a bunch of people like Michael Steele, who was also the head of the RNC, but clearly went to re-education camp many, many years ago.
Right.
And is kind of a trusted spokesman for Republicans who left the party and want nothing to do with Trump. And he didn't just convert last week. He's been that way. I can't remember the last time I ever heard him ever say anything positive about Trump. But he's former RNC chairman. So is Rona McDaniel. They must be the same, Britt. Let's hire her. We hired him. Mm-hmm. Right?
He was, I think it's worth repeating. People may have forgotten. They fired him during a year when the Republican Party was having a miserable. It was the 2010 is when they fired him, when they were having a huge gangbusters election year. Oh, the Tea Party thing. That's right.
Yeah. All right. So I guess it's announced to everyone at NBC and to the world. It gets out on Friday. And my first thought was, there is no way that this is going to stand if any of the on-air stars at MSNBC have any degree of soul, self-worth, integrity, that they will absolutely not work with Rona McDaniel on their network. And they better say so publicly, or they better threaten to quit. And I know that Keith Olbermann later this week will take full credit for the behavior of the MSNBC people, which apparently was probably a group. We're going to all walk into the office of the president of NBC News and say, we're all quitting. That's going to be the next thing. We're all quitting. If you put her on our cable network, we're all out of here. And it obviously worked really fast, because within seconds they said, oh, well, she's only going to be on the NBC broadcast network, which means really just Meet the Press, because there is no other opinionated programming on NBC broadcast all week long. There just isn't. That's the only show that even comes close. So she's scheduled to be on Meet the Press yesterday, Sunday. She goes on there and shits the bed exactly as you would expect her to shit the bed, as she tries to distance herself from the worst of the worst ideas of Trumpism, but doesn't really do so, and gets pinned to the floor. And then Chuck Todd, the former host of Meet the Press, is on a panel, and he just fillets the management of NBC News. Good for him. Obviously speaking on behalf, not just of himself, but from some other people. And my guess is this story is about in the eighth inning already, and you'll never see Rona McDaniel again on TV. They will pay her the $300,000 and say, thank you. Thank you for all of the good work you did. That was a highly paid one and done appearance that you did. I cannot imagine that they're going to bring her back on. She's not capable of any kind of intelligent analysis beyond the political hackery that she exhibited as the Republican National Committee chairman for all those years. This is the, and she's so bad. Here's how bad she is. She's so bad that CNN passed on her, right? Because you got to think, right? CNN, not quite as all liberal all the time as MSNBC, and CNN, supposedly run by the puppet master, a guy named John Malone, who owns much of the stock, or is the biggest stockholder in the company that owns CNN. And he said within the last few years a couple times he wants CNN to be a little bit more newsy and a little less opinion-y and a little bit more balanced. So this was the chance. The RNC, no, CNN wanted no part of her. Fox, which you would think would be the natural landing place for a completely in the tank, all Trump, all the time audience of one person who would speak to that audience, that she'd end up on Fox. But there's an obvious reason why she would never be on Fox, Brit. Look right at me right now. Ready? Ready? Look at her. And we're on a podcast, right?
Yeah, we're on podcast.
She's too ugly. She's too ugly. She's a two-bagger, Britt. Two-bagger. She's hideous to look at.
Oh, God.
And so that knocks you out of Fox consideration right away. If you're not a hot blonde or a budding brunette, you have no shot over there.
Yeah.
So MSNBC picks her up on waivers. Okay. She was on waivers.
At best.
RNC. Yeah.
I'd like to wave her goodbye.
Yeah. So that's how I see this. But I'm sure that the repercussions of this are not over, because you just don't put out a fire like this inside your company that quickly when you make that kind of a stupid move. It was just...
You talked about the talent NBC speaking out, and Chuck Todd, if you haven't seen the clip, you really need to, because he just blasts his the management at his company like right on the air to their faces. Is the idiot that came up with this idea, is he going to be fired? The person in management that thought it was a great idea, are they going to be shown?
It's not a guy. It's a whoever, girl.
Whoever it
can't
is.
Remember her name. I can't remember her name.
Guy, gal, someone who identifies as both or neither, whoever it is, the sentient being, Britt, that came up with it.
Britt, what is the commonality between cockroaches and management? What's the commonality?
They survive every single time.
There you go.
And they also scatter when you turn the lights on, strangely. That's also another thing they have in common.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't hear anything about the person in management getting canned for this decision. And they should. They absolutely should.
It's a massive public failure. And Chuck Todd, I thought, made the salient point. He goes, I don't know if she's saying stuff to you right now just to protect the money that she's making on this network, like she did when she was with the RNC and just saying shit to protect her job. By the way, how did that work? How did that go for you?
I don't know if you read this story. Over on Fox, where they're covering the story,
okay,
just glorying in it. News anchors Bill Hemmer and Dana Perino, also a hire from a previous administration. She had been, was she press secretary for about a minute?
Yeah.
In the Bush, George W. Bush administration. Is that where she at? They were shocked at the public airing of grievances at NBC over the weekend.
That's nice.
With Bill Hemmer calling it, quote, enormous insubordination.
Enormous.
Turn this around. If someone said this at Fox News, they'd be walked out the door, said Hemmer on America's Newsroom on Monday after watching clips of Joe Scarborough, who in the morning said equally derisive things about the management and the hiring of Rona McDaniel. Yes, this is unbelievable, said Kayleigh McEnany, who was a Donald Trump White House press secretary and every much as disgusting as Rona McDaniel, but kind of nice to look at. And, you know, the answer is, yeah, you would. Okay. Way different than Rona McDaniel.
Yeah.
So this is enormous insubordination. All right. Just using the word insubordination. Okay. The workers don't use that word. Okay. You know who uses that word?
Assholes.
Asshole management and lawyers.
Right.
They use the word insubordination. And when I hear Fox do that, the first thing I think of is, as bad a decision as this was by NBC, as inexcusable as it was, to their credit, they instantly recognized it and partially did the right thing by not forcing her down MSNBC's throat. And to their credit, the people on air feel secure enough that they can say the things that they are saying. But at Fox, they want you to know that if they ever disagree with a management decision and were to ever say it in public, they'd be walked right out the door. And you know what that's called? That's called a dictatorship. That's called ruling by fear. So NBC, Fox, I'm still going with NBC. As bad a decision as this was. There you go.
The public fallings out of the public dirty laundry that's aired at Fox has to do with things like, I don't know, sexual assault and losing a almost billion-dollar decision in court and lying about something. That's the kind of dirty laundry that happens at Fox.
And believe me, the Fox audience does not find out about it from people on the air talking about it. In fact, I'm guessing, and Bill Hemmer's probably right, if you would talk about the decision last year that Fox owes $787 million to the company that makes the voting machines because Fox lied. If you ever talked about that on Fox, you would be, as Bill Hemmer said, marched over to the door with a cardboard box and told to get the hell out.
That's true. They have this guy. I don't know if you heard of it. I think he got some decent ratings there. His name is Tucker Carlson. And for some reason, he just left one day. He just wasn't there anymore.
I'm sure they talked about that a lot on Fox.
Yeah. Like, here's what, we wish Tucker the best in his future endeavors.
Right. Sorry to see him go. All right.
And everything that we said and everything that everybody said about Tucker, like, they, oh my God, he's going to revolutionize the X format. No, he's not. He's going to go on and create his own kind of brand and be all. No. He sucked all of the ass in the nearly year since he'd been gone.
I think you're a little bit hasty. Time will tell. Time will tell, my friend. Time will tell. All right. All right. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Good time. Donnie's got the blues. Yeah, all right. Nice. Trump wins sort of in, the case where he was going to have to cough up, $550 some million today. Yeah. The judge knocked it all down to $175 million. And I guess any way you look at that, yeah, Trump has to look at that as a win. In fact, he did look at it as a win and basically declared victory,
freezing.
As always. Now, that's not victory.
Yeah.
Okay. He already is out there repeating the fake claim that the appeals court had already decided the civil fraud case in his favor, which they have not. They reduced the amount of the bond from $545 million down to $175, which I'm sorry that they did that. I wish they would have put the hammer down, but I don't know whether he even has $175 million in cash, but it might be easier, I guess, to get that in the form of a bond. But Trump couldn't take a win, right? He couldn't take a win and run with it that way and be gracious about it and thank the court. No. Judge Arthur Engoron has refused to obey the decision of the appellate division. This is a confrontation between a judge and those who rule above him. A very bad situation which to place New York State and rule of law. He has disrespected its clear and precise ruling, the appellate division. He should be made to do so at the same time release the gag order. This is I did nothing wrong. New York should never be put in the position like this again. Businesses are fleeing. Violent crime is flourishing. And
Shut
it's
up.
Very okay. So on so that's his response to his win. Okay.
Shut
that's response to his win where they knocked down the judgment, you know, what by almost 2/3 here. But in the other case, the Stormy Daniels hush money trial, or as I like to call it, the cover up in order to interfere with a election that is coming up in a few weeks. That's right before the 2016 election when Ed Michael Cohn pay her off. The payoff didn't come till after the election. So, of course, Trump is trying to claim presidential immunity and that was part of his presidential duties and therefore not subject to, but you know, that's not going anywhere. Judge Mershon addressed Trump's motion today to find that the district attorney's office committed prosecutorial misconduct by providing documents late in discovery. All right, so Trump's lawyers and Trump are saying, oh, you're throwing all this stuff at us at the last minute. Not fair. Not fair. Now, these are the same documents requested by their office from the U.S. attorney months ago, but they only got them recently. And apparently when they went through these documents, there are only about 200 or so that have any kind of relevance to the case instead of the 100,000 total. So do your math on that, like 200 out of 100,000. So they were throwing shit at the wall and hoping it would stick. The judge didn't buy into it. And tough shit. The trial will start on time. It will start on time next month. That's it. Get out. Shut up. Go away.
So
that's a loss. That would be a loss for Trump.
I just started watching the documentary on Stephanie Clifford, aka Stormy Daniels, on Peacock.
Hoping to see something?
No, I know where to go for that. I mean, I have no idea where those sites are. No, and I don't have enough to really go on, but we're getting to her having dinner with him. Apparently, this whole thing happened in Tahoe. I wasn't aware, but apparently it was some sort of celebrity golf tournament or something.
Wait. Tahoe. I thought what happens in Tahoe stays in Tahoe.
No. And then she goes, I didn't want to have dinner with him. He was like, at the time, 60, she's 27 or something. But her publicist goes, no, you should do it. It'll be fun. So never listen to your publicist. I believe that is the real lesson of this entire thing.
That's what we've learned.
That's what I've learned. Well, I mean, I'm only, like I said, I'm only like 30 minutes in. She loves horses.
So after Trump loses the case where the judge says, sorry, trial is still on in the case you're talking about. Mm-hmm. What does Trump do? He walks outside, right, and holds court and says two things. He says, "Thank you all very much. This is a witch hunt and a hoax." And he walks away. That's all he says. Now, why did he say thank you very much? Because remember, the only people that are standing there are all the guys in the blue suits, his bodyguards, and other members of the police and members of the press who are taking pictures of him. So thank you very much. He always thinks he's at a rally.
Thank you very
much. He always thinks people are there to see him because they love him.
Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if that foreboding piano music started just playing just like every single time when he was outside, just outside the courtroom?
That'd be great. Yes. Yeah. So everyone who is there because it is their job to be there.
Right. Nobody wants to be there, Don.
Nobody wants to be there. Not thank you very much. And he is like a sitcom or a drama
at best
that's gone too many seasons. They've run out of material. The plots are the same. The material is the same. The delivery is essentially the same. Now, you know the story about how they offered Jerry Seinfeld another $100 million to do another season, and he said, "No, we're done. We've run out of ideas."
Although Larry King thought the show was canceled. You've seen that clip, right?
I know that's a different problem. Okay, that's a different problem. It's a different issue. But a lot of shows, of course, seem to go on a little bit longer than they should. Even when All in the Family left the air after just five seasons, then they turned it into Archie Bunker's Place, and that Bunker's sucked. Place.
Yeah.
Just trying to wring too much material. But some of the great shows, they knew when to get off the stage. Mary Tyler Moore Show, done. Great Dick example. Van Dyke Show, done. The Simpsons, they stopped making those after 4 years. Every right. Simpsons. Of course, Simpsons is an exception. I think it's as funny today as it's ever been. And how do they do that? Well, because they have new writers, except for the two guys, right, who are in charge of it. But they have fresh writers all the time, and they keep the show fresh. But in case of Trump, it looks like he's had the same writers since day one, because it's just repeat, repeat, repeat. You can't use the word witch hunt. You can't use the word hoax over and over and over again without it having some degree of diminishing return on the investment in the word over and over again. And after something like this happens today, where a judge makes a studied decision to say that you're full of shit for trying to delay this trial on a frivolous technicality, that's not a hoax, and that's not a witch hunt. That's a judge doing his job. And when we find a judge who does their job right now at any level without caving in to the pressure of what is going on around them, because judges read the paper, judges watch TV. I'm not studied up enough, because the story's too new, to wonder what the actual reasoning was that the judgment in the New York civil case about the overvaluation of property and the undervaluation of it for tax purposes, which is what Trump was on trial for and found guilty of already. And the question was, what's going to be the penalty? And that penalty was in the upper $400 million, crossing over into $500 million with interest. So they've cut that by 2/3. What's the reasoning for that? I have to think, I'm sorry to say this, that you have a judge that may have completely caved in to pro-Trump opinion out there, because the pro-Trump opinion was, yes, he's guilty of all these things, but the fine is just too crazy. It's too much. And you had liberals saying that. You had people who would start off with, I'm no fan of Trump, for Donald Trump. I never make excuses for him. I don't carry his water. You know that. But, and then they would say that the $500+ million was just disproportionate. And that judge decided he didn't want to be the guy that fined Trump all that money and then got overturned at the appellate level by some panel that said, yeah, it was just too high. So he knocked it down to 175. That's my first gut instinct as to why that judgment happened.
And then
was knocked down that way.
And then immediately, what does Trump do? Shows zero gratitude.
Right.
Shows, and it doesn't even matter. He does the guy like a super solid. 2/3 of it, you don't have to worry about. It's still, and they hand you, like you go into Cold Stone Creamery, they hand you like, here's a double cup of ice cream. And you're like, where are the fucking sprinkles? What the hell?
Yep. And just pulling back, okay, more than $500 million fine. That is a lot of money, okay? But you have a guy who's been bragging publicly for 10 years that I'm rich, really rich. I don't need any money from anyone. I'll fund my own campaign. I'll be beholden to no one. I'm rich. I'm really, really rich. In the deposition last year, he's on video saying I have about $400 million in cash. All right. So maybe the judge decided to play poker with Trump. You said you had a $400 million, so 175 should be nothing to you.
Shouldn't be anything.
Right. Okay. So if you had $400 million, over 500, that would be a stretch for you. So, okay. So just pony up the 175, we'll call it a day. I'm guessing here that Trump is, of course, still going to continue to bitch, because to even admit that he did anything wrong, resulting in the payment of any kind of a fine, is not what Trump does. You never admit that you're wrong, and judgments against you are always illegitimate and politically motivated, and they come from the desk of Joe Biden. So yeah. Next thing he's going to be saying is, it wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the amount. You know, he'll lie. And it was about the amount. So this is a show your cards, because if he can't come up with this amount, which it's a lot of money maybe to you, it's a decent amount to me, 175 million. I could come up with that pretty easily.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, you got that in the couch cushions. It's not a problem.
But if a guy who has lived off the fraudulent image of being the successful businessman billionaire, well, except for Trump steaks and Trump wine and the Trump games and the casinos going bankrupt and all those. But other than that, the most successful businessman ever. We need a businessman to run this country, because yeah, we've had too many politics. So 175. So his job and his excuses jobs will still be, of course, to say 175 is still outrageous. It has no relationship to reality because Trump did nothing wrong. And that's how real estate is done. I mean, it's opinions. There's no objective facts with real estate. They're going to say the same thing. So I think the judge caved. The judge made a calculation that he didn't want to get himself too far under the rock of a possibility of being overturned at the higher level, because this is not a proportionate, fair fine, which I think it was. But what is my opinion? Matter. So I think he did that, and then at the same time it puts even more of an onus on Trump to be able to quickly and easily come up with the fine. To Trump, you would think 175 million is equivalent to you and I having to come up with $25. And I know I can do it. I know you could do it. If you can't do it, then you've got, you know, you've got half of, is it what, like half the country does not have $400 in savings to pay for their car breaking down or anything like that. Which, of course, that explains why you have Ice-T trying to sell you fucking car guaranteed bullshit on TV. Because they're appealing to people that don't have any savings. Did you know replacing your engine could be $5,000? Hey, did you know that if you're replacing your engine for $5,000, you might want to get a new car? But I didn't think of that. I'll pay whatever those, anyway. Let's see. They're giving him 10 days. It's also possible that some rich person that Trump knows who wasn't going to give him $450 million, they might spot him $175 million if that's what he needs. But he shouldn't have to have that. He said he had more money than that. That's the bottom line.
He did.
Call him on it, Trumpsters. Understand he's lying to you and has been the entire time.
It's never enough. Even if you kiss his ass or do something for him, it's just never enough.
Of course not. Of course not. Let's see what time it is here. We got to be on time today.
No, we've got a couple of minutes here. If you want to finish. If you'd like to finish strong with, you want to do the DeSantis thing? DeBanis?
Yeah. Governor Ron DeBanis signed a bill today in Florida that blocks most kids from social media websites. It's called House Bill 3. Got bipartisan support. Kids 13 and under, not allowed to create social media accounts. Platforms have to seek out and remove their profiles. Kids 14 and 15 would need a parent's consent. All minors are blocked from adult websites, requiring all visitors to prove their age before viewing content. A handful of other states, from California to Arkansas, have placed similar limits on kids' social media use in response to rising rates of teen depression and suicide. But bottom line, none of these bans in these states have taken effect as of yet, because the big boys, TikTok and Meta, among others, are suing, claiming that this violates the kids' First Amendment right to free speech. Now, that is a mammoth case. That's a mammoth case. In Florida, this would take effect January 1st of 25. This applies to platforms that have addictive features like infinite scrolling and push alerts, and in which 10% of the users are kids under 16 who spend at least 2 hours a day on the platform. Originally, they wanted a blanket ban on all kids under 16 from accessing social media at all, but to ban this, vetoed that, partly over concerns that it took away rights from parents to be able to say, I want my 15-year-old to be able to do this or that. And he made that compromise. So this, to me, is an extremely interesting case. The best thing I can say about it is, boy, am I glad my kids are way older than that. I'm glad my kids are not millennials. You know, they're born... Millennials, I think, are born after, is it after 95?
I think 96? That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mine are older than that. So yeah. we never had to deal with that. I mean, I think the first smartphones that they had, you know, were probably flip phones or you know, stuff like that. In fact, you know what? I know that's true because I was up in my daughter's room where she didn't save everything, but she has some old phones sitting up there that aren't used anymore. And I think they are that kind. They're the little tiny ones. So that, you know, and there was no Facebook back then. So I don't have a personal stake in this. And I certainly understand. You can't look away from the figures. You can't look away from the stories. They're not just anecdotal that some 15-year-old was driven to suicide by get the shit beaten out of them on some social media. I mean, there's something wrong there. There's something wrong. And there's a whole body of academic thought, scholarly, beyond that, that has come to the conclusion that the world changed that day in June of 07 when Steve Jobs introduced the iPhone.
Right.
And went from having flip phones and flip to smartphones. And that we've gotten so far away from personal interaction to just interacting on the phone that kids have lost something to the point where they're much more vulnerable than they ever would have. Hey, come on, Britt. There was bullying in your day. There was bullying in my day, mm-hmm. right? And by the way, did you ever find out, I'm sure you have, you ever found out what some of the bullies in your high school, whatever became of them? Most of them really did go to shit when they became adults. That's really true.
Well, some of them, even if you cruise they back really through do. Your hometown, they're hanging out behind a convenience store near a dumpster somewhere.
Yeah.
That's happening.
I mean, I know one, and I won't even come close to saying who and where and when I know him from.
Sure.
But his life did not go that well for him. That's all I can say.
That's unfortunate.
So, that's all I can say. So as much as I disagree with Rhonda Mann this on Rhonda Manning books and Rhonda, you know, I don't think this is such a bad idea. I think they should try it, see what happens. If 10 times the amount of kids percentage wise start committing suicide because they don't have phones, they have to revisit this.
Good luck.
They have to revisit this. But I did see, I was going to send it to you, but I didn't. And this is not perfectly analogous, but it's close. And we only have about a minute or so to go here.
Right.
There was a piece, I think it was on the front of the News and Record yesterday, about how few people since the advent or the legalization of gambling online and on your phone in North Carolina, how few have used the hotline.
Yeah.
And the I guess they have a thing where you can call up and get yourself banned from betting in That's North funny. Carolina. You can do it for a month, a year, lifetime. And they said so far, 8 people have called the number.
No, that's 8. Amazing. That's
yeah, it's like 8 people.
Oh, that's yeah. stunning, dude. That's yeah.
so, I have no idea. Right, right. So when it comes to self-enforcement, gamblers are this way. You certainly can't expect kids to be disciplined with their phones. Because adults are not disciplined with their phones.
Damn right. Okay? You're damn right.
So, we'll leave with that one. And doggone it, we missed having Ron DeSanctimonious as a presidential candidate, don't we? So many good ideas.
This close.
All right. Got to take the dog to the vet right now. We'll see you tomorrow.